Hello, this is the media report for the 28th of July 2005. I'm Richard Adie. We begin with freedom of information. Sometime in the next few days, the full bench of the Federal Court will hand down its decision on an FOI case taken by The Australian. The paper's Michael McKinnon wants some documents that the Treasurer, Peter Costello, has so far denied him. This is the journalist's last chance to get them. Rick Snell from the University of Tasmania Law School's arguably our leading academic on FOI. He says the case is important for several reasons.
First and foremost, it's a rare initiative by the media organisations in Australia to tackle the government on the way that the Freedom of Information Act actually operates in practice and also in the interpretation of the Act. It's been very rare in the past for Australian media organisations to take the challenge up to the governments about their interpretation of the legislation.
It's been described to me as a make or break for FOI and journalism in this country.
Well, I think that's a fairly good summary of the position. First and foremost, back in 1996, almost now 9 years ago, the Australian Law Reform Commission came out with a report after 2 years of extensive consultation and research, making 106 recommendations for major reforms to the Freedom of Information Act. So they came out and effectively said that the Act had numerous loopholes in it, was deficient both in its legislative aspects and its administration. Secondly, I think that there's a major problem in terms of the amount of money that the government has been able to spend on public relation campaigns and spin. And I think the last election campaign is a good example of that. And at the same time, there's a deficit of reliable qualitative information and hard factual information that journalists and citizens can access from the government itself to effectively allow them to interrogate and question government decision-making in a whole range of areas, whether it's immigration or taxation.
I suppose the other issue is a really practical one. The Australian, which has really been the standard bearer of the media on this thing. Michael McKinnon is their FOI editor, and they've spent real money chasing this up, and if this doesn't come off, you kind of have to wonder whether they continue.
Well, I would expect that they wouldn't continue. I think that it has been incredible in terms of the expenditure that the Australian has spent on these particular cases. They've backed Michael McKinnon to the hilt, not only by his appointment, but also by providing funds for lawyers and others to carry out a number of test cases, both before the Administrative Appeals Tribunal and now before the much more expensive forum of the Federal Court. And I think it's been significant, the amount of resources that the Australian has put into this campaign. But at the same time, if they're not successful with this particular case, I can't see that generosity and support continuing.
Rick, I know it's a fairly complicated thing, but if you could give me the thumbnail sketch of what the case is all about.
In summary, the real aspect of this case is that you have a journalist and a news organisation seeking to access relatively mundane and innocuous documents, briefing notes and emails and other material, which were used in the preparation of briefings for the Treasurer in regards to items such as the first home buyer scheme and bracket creep. And this dates back now to 2002. So
these are not controversial documents, are they?
They're not controversial documents, so effectively historical documents. A lot of water has passed under the bridge since that particular time. Government policy has moved on. But for journalists and economists and the opposition to be able to effectively scrutinise the government's policy processes in these fairly critical areas, these documents would be at the very least informative about what the position was, what information was available to the government, and what type of alternatives and options that the government had when they decided to make their decisions on particular aspects affecting bracket creep or about the home buyer scheme.
Now, the government did not hand them over when the Australian applied for them. What happened then?
Then the Australian appealed to the Administrative Appeals Tribunal, which is an option under the Act, but one which very few applicants, especially news organisations, bothered to do because it's time-consuming and relatively expensive. The case was heard by Justice Gary Downes, who found in favour of the government.
Now, at some point the Treasurer made an intervention, though, didn't he?
Yeah, effectively, under the scheme, the way the conclusive certificates operates is that the Treasurer can choose to intervene at any stage in the process to conclusively claim that this information is subject to the proper exemptions under the Freedom of Information Act. He can do it when the journalist initially applies for the information, or he can do it much later in the piece. In this particular case, it was only when Michael McKinnon gave an indication that he's prepared to appeal to the Minister of Appeals Tribunal that the Treasurer issued the exemption certificate, effectively trying to short-circuit Michael McKinnon's access to the legal process. Partly because the test used by the tribunal and by the courts in regards to these conclusive certificates is absurdly low. They don't have to do very much to meet the minimum qualification. It just has to be that the Treasurer or the Minister who makes the decision has, if you like, a prima facie case to claim the certificate.
So this case that we're waiting for the decision on now is really a test case against a minister's ability just to issue what these conclusive certificates and suppress anything.
Yeah, or it's a test case on two grounds. One, on the point that you made, which is the ability of the minister to claim these certificates without very much justification to do so. And the second is a test case in terms of what the courts and tribunals are willing to consider to be matters of public interest that weigh in favour of disclosure. The key aspect to Michael McKinnon's test case is his claim that the public interest ought to be given a significant weight in terms of access. If the documents are insignificant, if they are historically dated, as these documents are, or that they can inform the public record for policy discussion, which these documents would have done so and would still continue to do so.
Well, I know which way I hope the federal court is likely to go, but you'd have a better idea than me. What's likely to be the ruling?
I've got no idea, and I think Michael McKinnon's in the same position. It's like sitting on tenterhooks, partly because one of the judges at the federal court hearing, after they heard all the evidence, came out and expressed his amazement about why the case was being heard in the first place, because of the very nature of the information. So when tribunals and judges actually look at the information that's been held and claimed to be secret, they realise how mundane it is and how effectively innocuous it may be. The point about this particular case is that there are thousands of documents of a similar type of nature that are out in the public domain and often released by the government to justify their position. But because this was information being sought by journalists and Peter Costello, for political reasons, effectively wanted to curtail the debate, brought out one of these conclusive certificates. So the merits of the documents and the quality of the documents don't really come into issue in these types of cases.
Rick Snell's at the University of Tasmania Law School. This is the Media Report on ABC Radio National. I'm Richard Adie.